podcast has changed my life.
Dan, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Don't all pranks have a bed of lying? They do, because you've got to get...
Is every prank a lie?
Well, kind of. Ashton Kutcher, massive liar.
That was a big example of a lie. I mean, the one that goes to me that I used to enjoy watching quite a bit in my early 20s was a video, I think it was in Italy, where, I mean, it's so cruel. Mm. Basically, a guy dressed up as a clown and had a chainsaw and at night would just...
What?
In like a long tunnel or like some creepy tunnel, some poor person would just be walking along and then at the end of the tunnel, he'd just come out dressed like a clown and like start the chainsaw.
And he kills
them. And run at them. No, he wouldn't kill them.
The prank is he murders.
Yeah.
What a prank. I take your life by gruesome death.
Your Honour, I do understand that I've been caught and you can prove that I have murdered 17 people and am one of the most now notorious serial killers in the land, but I would assert that it was just a prank.
A prank going wrong.
Please, Your Honour, you must admit this kind of thing is kind of funny.
The judge...
every prank is a bed of lies, Your Honour.
You just see the corner of the mouth of the judge start going up. Goes, that's pretty good.
So it's
pretty
good. I get it. It's like subverting a lot of the stuff I see in here. You know what I mean?
So it's like subverting a normal prank, which is when you like, at the end, you pat them on the back and you're like, ha-ha, you have a laugh.
Exactly.
This one, you just don't get that.
It's like the next level pranking.
Yeah. It's like some people can do it at an amateur level, like a social sport level. Some people go to the Olympics and they sacrifice everything for it.
And this is sacrificing his liberty and mainly the lives of the victims for the gag, which it's made clear that it's a gag because he's dressed like a clown.
But what if you believed in like a comedy heaven and that you go there, like in the same way, like 72 virgins or whatever, if you die in battle or whatever. So if you're part of a very funny prank and die as a result, you go straight to comedy heaven.
So you're saying you think that there's potentially a different type of heaven where you go if you die in a funny way.
I think there's two heavens. Unfunny heaven and funny heaven.
So if you
live a good life, infinity riffs.
Totally. But you have, is it about how you die? So if you get hit by a train, normal heaven, and you're a good person.
No.
Good person and you die by like from flatulence.
Good, I think
you're in comedy
good
heaven.
And bad are not extremely important. I think if you live a funny life...
With heaven.
If you live a full and funny life, constantly doing funny things, that will get you in there. But if you then sacrifice yourself at the highest level, dying in a funny prank, you're straight in.
Totally. Okay, so that's kind of like how people who aren't religious will maybe convert on their deathbed just in case that heaven's real in order to get in. If you've been the unfunniest cunt in the world, just boring as batshit, never said something entertaining in your whole life or even interesting, you get to the end, you realise, fuck, there might be a comedy heaven. I'm going to have to dress up like a clown.
That's why a lot of people on their deathbed have a whoopee cushion in their pocket.
Yeah.
So just their last breath, they just go...
Now you mention it. Just doing gags with the nurses, you're getting nothing. You got COVID, you're like, come in, I need one laugh before I go out.
Dude, I was killing at the COVID clinic when I got my jab.
You were doing bits in there? That's crazy.
No, I did. I did an off the cuff thing.
You were doing bits in that waiting room.
Not like being like, hey guys, you seen the train system in this goddamn...
As I think Goldstein alluded to,
Oh, yeah. That you could...
They have to sit
Well,
there.
I was sitting in a lecture hall. Like, it would have been perfect. Oh. Raked seating, probably 200, 250 people. A good crowd.
What? Hang on. So when you got vaccinated, after you get the shot, they make you sit there for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Because it's just like so many people going
lining up.
Yeah, this is a RPA, so I guess it's a big one.
Like, fuck. Oh, yeah, totally. But so it's like 200, 300 in a room.
So when they were raked around...
It's like a super spreader event.
Well, dude, yeah. Also, it's right next to where everyone goes if they've got COVID.
Exactly.
So you've got people trying to get rid of it, the people with it. Like, they should keep them completely separate.
I would have thought so.
Almost like a quarantine type system.
Yeah.
And maybe, anyway, but so there's like 250 people waiting and they're in rows and stuff. People tell you when it's your row to go or whatever. But you could have got down the front with a megaphone or something and been like, hey, it's good to be here.
And I reckon, I mean, it's similar to what we were talking about the other week. By just like getting in people's cars and trying to do bits. I feel like pretty soon one of the stewards, or the people kind of in charge of directing people, would take the megaphone from you.
Unless you were really good.
Well, that's why that first 20 seconds is so critical.
Totally. I think what you're going to do, because it was a Pfizer, everyone was getting Pfizer there. So you do some AstraZeneca gear at the top.
It's It's like how you do it. You do like stuff about the town down the road. You're like, they're all a bunch of cunts down there.
Yeah, I was in Newcastle last night. Guys, I got AstraZeneca last week. I was shitting for 3 days after. Who's with me?
Yes, Pfizer, fucking yes.
No, but my joke was, so I came out, I got the jab.
Yep.
Walked out, and then you have to go into that waiting room to see if you drop dead or whatever.
Yes. And so they make you sit there and wait for like 10, 15 minutes just to make sure that you don't have an adverse reaction.
I had to wait for 45 minutes.
Are you fucking kidding
me? I'm allergic to penicillin.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Which
that's
is
no good because
an
isn't
issue
that a helpful
in
thing?
Modern medicine. Yeah. No, there's other stuff you can take. But I don't know if I am allergic. All I just remember is once I got it, I had penicillin and my whole body went red and I didn't sleep for 2 days.
Not sure if I'm allergic to tomatoes, but the last time I did eat a tomato, which was 10 years ago, I shat myself for a week.
I haven't had it since. I haven't had it since.
Totally.
But
you could have gotten over it.
Totally. So I had to wait 45 minutes, but I walk out and they're like, just go left to the waiting room. I walk straight past where you're supposed to walk left. I'm probably already on my phone, like whatever.
Of course.
Like,
I'll get you're taking the photo. The big vaccine
I didn't get
photo.
The photo. I should have got the photo. But I walk. So I walk out and they're like, no, sir, you got to go left. And I was like, oh, shit, sorry. And then I joke and I'm like, oh, it must have been the jab. I'm having a – because they were like, there's a doctor there in the waiting room waiting to see how you do. I was like, get the doctor. I was like, I'm not sick from the jab. I'm just really dumb. He needs to look at me. And the nurse is like, ha, 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 ha.
That's getting laughed.
That's getting – well, it's a pretty dour place.
I suppose I would have thought that they
would – pretty funny.
Oh, look, I think it's funny. I think it's the exact kind of humor that they'd be trying to avoid in there because it's kind of about adverse reactions to the vaccine.
So you think that's like being like, hey, there's a bomb in my bag when they're searching you at the airport.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it. So it's hacked.
No. But you got laughs. So that's the be all and end all. I'm wrong.
Yeah, but Chappelle got laughs in that special and they still took him down, Tom.
Did they? Like he's doing pretty well.
He's doing okay, but there were a section of the community that weren't happy.
I don't think it's
there could be nurses
immoral
right
to
now.
Make that joke. I was just saying that if I was in your position, I would have been scared to make that joke. And it's good that you were brave enough to do it because I would have been concerned that they would have been like not like that kind of humor. Because when I got the vaccine, both times they did a bit of a spiel, which they probably do to everyone, about like the potential adverse reaction. And then it was kind of assumed that I might be like worried about the vaccine. So they'd just deal with that so much. If you're like, oh, it made me fucking crazy. I think they'd be like, shut the fuck up, man. Dude. There's like 40 people there waiting.
600 people
to see
in
if
an
they're
electric theater.
Like, yeah, some of them are probably very concerned. They might be like anti-vaxxer people who have like had their arm twisted in there. And you're there being like, oh.
Yeah, but I think it
but
bought
But that's why
some,
it's good gear.
But I thought it kind of created a sense of fun and calm. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably got through the rest of the people a bit quicker that day.
Totally.
I think it was two acts of bravery I did that day. Getting the vaccine, the first one.
Yes.
A hugely great contribution to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, a bit of humour. And what's that movie with Robin Williams?
AI?
No.
That little robot boy, that's what the vaccine turned you into.
Patch Adams.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Brings a bit of laughter. And they say that's the best medicine.
That would be a good way to... Because we were talking about before, some people, I think, have been fudging or exaggerating potentially or just being honest about some conditions that they've had previously, like as a child to get the vaccine. I think some people who are like, there's a question of whether you're a frontline worker sometimes. I think on some of the forms, it's like, are you a frontline worker? It'd be funny to go in. They're like, are you a frontline worker? You're like, well, not yet. But get me in there. I'm going to get some laughs.
I'll do.
And then it's going to cheer everyone up. So you're just going to have to trust me.
Well, they need they would need a laugh.
Years. Yeah.
Because you read these stories about the doctors that are working in the ICU with the COVID people dying. They say it's horrible and it's day after day.
Absolutely.
They need a laugh.
Yep. Not more than anyone.
So you could go in. We could go in there at the moment.
Mm.
Are you double jabbed?
I'm double jabbed.
You could get in there.
Well, then maybe this is the thing because I think I agree with you that the doctors, so the original Patch Adams, they're there to cheer up the patients, right? And that's all well and good, that kind of role. You're now saying send someone in to entertain the nurses and doctors.
Well, they're important. Remember in
important
England,
too.
They were clapping
laughs.
Them.
Exactly. So let's put on a show.
Yeah.
But then, so if that starts, then now there's going to be comedians going into hospitals trying to make the doctors and the nurses laugh. Who's going to make those comedians laugh? And that's where I come in.
So you're going to entertain the you're the comedian's comedian.
Yeah. I'm going to go in.
Wow.
And after all the comedians, they're all like, because they're seeing crazy shit
totally
too.
Totally would be. They'd be taxing.
It's so taxing. They're like, fuck, I just want to take a minute and not be thinking about like me being funny for once, just for this 20 minutes, you know, while I have my break.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Before I get back in there. Do
before
the act
I get
again.
Back in there. Get back into the, oh, I'm on the wrong way down the hallway bit, which is killing, of course.
Everyone loves it.
Every day. It's like a busker, you know, sometimes you walk past a busker and they're like doing, sometimes they're doing, they've got jokes, like they're playing music, but they've got bits about, you know, throw in $5.
Oh, yeah.
And then you walk back 20 minutes later and it's the same jokes. They're doing, just 15 over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, would be you. There's no different to any other performer. You have your act and you do your act.
No, of course.
Theirs is just not very long.
Yeah.
And also in this situation, my joke goes for 12 seconds.
Yeah, that I don't
know. I'm just going corridor to corridor.
No, you want 15 minutes, I think, because most people do stay in that holding area for 15 minutes. So I think you get them turned around and then you're going to have to worry about how long the nurse's shifts are.
Well, no, they'll be fine. If there's a bit of crossover, I'm more worried about you. Who's going to entertain you? Because after you've then entertained the comedians.
Yeah, I think, well then.
You don't need it.
I think maybe the patients. That way it's a beautiful circle.
So what, the patients then have to come?
Well, one
so
or
you're
two patients.
In ICU dying of COVID and they're like, you actually have a job here.
Yeah.
There's a comedian out there.
No, I mean the people getting vaccinated, not the people who are really sick. Yeah, maybe in my position you get people with a really sick sense of humour who find the whole situation quite entertaining. And then they don't need entertaining.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, so at the end of the day, there's someone who's not going to get entertained.
No, the people at the end of the line are getting entertained just by the darkness of it all.
What if you...
And by death.
Okay.
They're finding that they're a bit sadistic, you know?
Okay, so we've got to sort these people out. We've got to source them out. A very particular job.
Yes.
I watched, last night I watched I Am Legend.
Oh, right.
Have you seen that movie with Will Smith?
I have, not for a while.
It's about a virus.
Is it? It's about the vaccine. So the vaccine makes everyone crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, the vaccine. Yeah. Okay. But the vaccine becomes a virus.
Yes, well, okay.
No, because I think they were trying to cure cancer or something. And they gave everyone, and then they turned into like killers that only existed at nighttime or whatever.
Isn't it a classic like the frog ate the spider ate the fly and then some other thing ate the... Well, maybe that's not a good metaphor.
No, but that's what we're doing with the entertaining though, isn't it?
Totally. Oh, is that the...
No, that's not my point.
Oh, okay. I think I was talking about maybe a better example is like cane toad. You bring, you know, there were those bugs in Queensland. That's why cane toads
were
introduced.
The sugar cane.
Exactly. There were the bugs on the sugar cane and then they brought the cane toads to eat the bugs and now the cane toads are a problem. It's like the solution to the problem becomes the real problem itself.
Oh, I mean, Well, it's almost like we have
no hope.
The
vaccine becomes the disease, you know.
Well, in many ways, humans are the biggest virus of all time.
Oh, ask a wombat, and that's what they'll tell you. Not to us, though. I mean, yeah, COVID, it's like, what do you mean? I'm just doing my thing. I love it. Like, I'm new, I'm fresh.
The best.
I'm traveling internationally. It's fantastic. The virus doesn't think it's the virus. So I disagree with you. Anyway, point is.
No, anyway, I was watching I Am Legend, and it's like about, it was like triggering, because I was watching it being like, this could be us. Like, there's people hidden in the mountains and stuff, and he's like the only one left in the world or whatever. And you know when like Netflix took Monty Python and all this stuff that had done blackface off Netflix?
Monty Python did blackface.
Yeah, they took Monty Python episodes off.
I remember they took.
They took a bunch of stuff off after the Black Lives Matter movement.
It was Fawlty Towers because they did the, I think they were like anti-German jokes in there or something.
Oh, okay.
You think that we should take out...
Anything with a virus, I think it's in bad taste. Contagion, gone.
Because it's triggering for you.
Well, maybe just have a bit of,
respect.
Have a bit of respect for what we're going
through.
Or
a warning at the top, because that's often what they're doing now with the ones which have like outdated jokes or whatever. They'll keep it, but they'll have at the beginning, this is inappropriate. Don't watch this. I mean, you knew what you were getting into, presumably.
I think I watched it for that reason, because I was like, I want to have a look at how bad it could get.
You know what? I did a very similar thing 2 nights ago. I watched Contagion, which I'd heard a lot of people doing like a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's worth a watch for the same reason. It's interesting because there's a lot of terms in there which are kind of in the scene where, you know, when a scientist comes in to some movie and there's a scene of the scientist and they're deliberately using kind of words that you don't understand. And the point of the scene is to establish this scientist as like, they know what they're doing. They're a professional. They're using kind of official terms.
Yeah.
But You know all the terms.
Yeah,
now.
We're up to date.
They're saying social distancing. They're super saying like,
spreader.
Oh, the
did they call it social distancing?
Yeah, that came. They said social distancing. Like, we need to social distance. We need to.
Wow.
Like, quarantine came up a lot. I think that there was something about the N number, like how many people it spreads to, which you see in the news. Oh, now.
Did they say self isolate?
Self isolate? No, because it was more mandated in that because it got more out of hand. The really weird thing
did
about
they say it's not a race. Really specific.
Yeah, there was the ScoMo scene. I don't know, yeah, ScoMo yeah. and Matt Damon, they're actually in love.
They should go back in and like re-edit it to suit where they are in the current day politically.
Oh, this feels like a ABC satire sketch.
Let me call them up. I've got something ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Just putting ScoMo in like an established scene.
Well, ScoMo could play Will Smith.
Okay.
In the whole thing being like, I'm at ground zero. This is my duty. I'm going to sort this out.
Yes.
Because that's kind of what happens in the movie.
Totally. But then he's kind of off by himself.
Off by himself, yeah.
ScoMo has done. The thing that I found about Contagion, which was weird, none of them are wearing masks. So the people that are going in to investigate the thing, they're still like meeting with like, what are we going to do?
But remember, I don't think we were wearing masks last year, were we?
Oh, but this was, like in the movie, it's worse than COVID. It's like 1 in 4 people die that get it. And it's like millions of people have it. 20 million
one
people.
1 in 4 die.
Yeah. So it's just the death rate is higher from the disease. So it's like higher stakes.
I was reading about COVID. I said this to you before. I was reading about how it kills you. Apparently, your lungs feel like they're full of bees buzzing around in there.
Yeah, I was begging for you to bring that up on the podcast. The most depressing fact I've heard in a good while.
I'm just saying we've got to take this thing seriously.
It is so
imagine
funny.
Imagine if Shane Warne dies because his lungs are full of bees.
He's
we
vaccinated.
Can't have that.
He's
fine. Is he?
Yeah, he is. He said he'd be all right, apparently.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, he still could have adverse effects.
Oh, no, I was just really worried. Okay. I just have put a lot of, like, thought to that this week.
That is so funny.
About Warnie dying.
For you, Warnie got it, and now you're like, let's buckle down. Like, this is serious.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed the change in my demeanor this week, but I'm messaging people being like, get the vaccine. Totally. I've got a link here. You need to get it. It's probably because Warnie has it. If he can go down, anyone can go down. Because he's kind of invincible. He lives his life of, like... He smokes 50 cigarettes a day. He eats like eight different types of foods. That's all he eats. Like he doesn't eat any vegetables. He looks great. He looks unbelievable. He was bald and now he's got hair again.
Yeah.
Best leg spin bowler of all time. Travels around the world. Like I'm like, if he can go, like he was invincible. If it takes him down,
we're all fine.
We need to be like, this is really serious. What hope does like a mere mortal like me that's allergic to penicillin have?
You haven't been like this. I feel like this is a fun thing about the COVID in general is you get to see people. Different people have different takes on it and like their attitudes change and stuff.
But literally like
Warnie getting.
But like this is only 2 days concerned. Old or 3 days old. Before then I was like, pull the ripcord, let it run loose. Like I don't care at this point.
Totally,
now I'm like, no fucking way. Everyone get the jab, bring the military in, lock us down. Put fucking, what do they do in China? Steel bolts, weld our doors in. Dying with bees in your lungs.
One, he doesn't deserve that kind of
death. He doesn't. He represented our country so many times.
Staying up late at night, can't get to sleep. Fucking Warnie, I hope you're all right, mate. The thing is, he's isolating, though. And the only people you're allowed over are people now, are people that are your intimate partners, people that you're sleeping with. So that's good for him because that's everyone that comes around to his house fucks him. So he's.
Did you do that on Twitter?
No.
I was going to say, yeah.
Did that have the...
It would have cut through. It would work in the hospital. Because that, I think, is like perfectly...
Classic hospital gear.
No, because I think that's a perfect... It's a bit of fun and it's also on the money. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Everyone would be like, that is true, correct. It's about us, but it's not in poor taste.
Guys, if you're listening and you want to know kind of how to write a joke, you want it to be a bit of fun, but you also want it to be on the money. These are the two.
It's on the money.
These are the two main things you're looking
dude,
for.
Dude, I haven't done stand-up in so long that, like, I don't even know what is, like, funny. Like, because the only person I talk to is my girlfriend, and, like, she's funny, but not a comedian funny. Like,
but then also you're... What you say that she enjoys, like I suppose your humour would be starting to shape towards hers.
Well, I just know what makes her laugh, so I just say that. And it's like, I've got no sense.
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, that's on the money.
That's so funny. You did some online gigs.
I've been doing Zoom gigs.
Yeah, how'd they go?
Terrible this week. Really made me reconsider the whole thing.
Because you say you haven't been doing it, but you have.
Well, I did. So I've done 4 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's been, the first two were awesome. Mm. Not awesome, but like a bit of fun. Because it was like,
thought it was going to be.
One of them was like for a bunch of lawyers.
Mm.
And they were, there was a woman drinking an espresso martini, smoking a cigarette on her webcam while I was doing it, like in her house. Like,
she indoors?
Yeah.
Yes.
She was having a great time. And people are like heckling me. Like I'm just like, yell out if you want, or write something mean about me in the comments.
What kind of
or,
stuff are they saying?
Just like one person said, I hope your comedy is, no, I hope your Zoom connection is worse than your comedy, so this ends or something.
Yeah.
Like okay. stuff like that's that. It's like, oh,
roasting.
Yeah, like a bit of roasting. I mean, it's all a bit of fun. But anyway, so then.
But is it on the money?
The ultimate test. The ultimate test. Well, this week I did one, two of them for like this, I don't know what they do, like salary managing or something, something big.
Oh, right.
Big company or something, boring. And they did this thing that I'd heard about, but I didn't believe it. None of them turned their webcams on or their microphones. So it was just darkness. Darkness. Like, and I just did, I spoke for so long.
Where are you? You're in your bedroom?
Just at a, like a desk in the apartment I'm in.
Okay.
And I set up, this is the other thing. I got so lucky because I have a sign up the back that I said that I wrote comedy on. It's like, yes. And you can adjust the letters on. I thought I'd make it like, not look like I was just.
Like a whiteboard before?
No, it's like one of those things you can stick. Cafes have them and they always have like.
Oh, like magnets on
long
them.
Black 3.8 or whatever. You gotcha. Know, like on it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So like I had that behind me and I just had comedy on it because I was like, I'll make it look whatever.
Yeah.
That's like something. It's something. It's a bit of preparation. Yes, whatever. Yeah.
Bit, yeah.
It just somehow justifies the, this money they're burning, just paying me to do this.
Desperately trying to make their staff okay from working from home and not going anywhere.
They're
going to
put this cunt on there that just is like, also, oh, like.
Hasn't talked to anyone for a week.
I'm just like, after every joke, I'm like, is that on the money, guys? Just write on the money or not on the money
all
in the comment
these
section.
Bits about nurses. Every single one.
Oh, well, I was talking about
Warnie. Killed at the hospital.
The one I did yesterday, I was talking about Warnie for so long. But anyway, so like they don't turn it. Anyway, so I've got this sign that says comedy, but I did a few the other week and then Sam Campbell came to my house or out the front of my house or whatever. He didn't come in the house. But he came. We were doing table tennis and he was near my car and he saw in the boot that sign that said comedy because I was moving. And then without me, we were chatting and I was chatting to someone else. He went on the sign and got the different things and wrote stop the boats on
it. Oh, my God.
And I kind of like was like, haha, that's funny or whatever. Anyway, so I set it up and then not even looking. Like I just put it behind me and I sit down to do it. And then I jump on early to the Zoom to be like, because there's like, you, they call it a call time. You're on like 10 minutes before on the Zoom. You're chatting to the organizer. And she's like, what's that sign in the background? I'm like, it says stop the boats. She was like, we specifically asked for no political material.
This is what they think, that you're a political comedian, or maybe you're not, but then you've been radicalized in,
in lockdown.
And you're like, this is my way. I'm going to get a bunch of, what, salary managers, you said?
Yeah, salary
this
managers.
This is how we're...
Stop the boats.
Probably would have killed.
It probably would have killed it also.
Been like, yes.
Do you know...
Haven't heard that kind of rhetoric in a while. It's like the opposite of triggering.
If there's
them.
Any time to promote the stop the boats thing, that both sides of politics would probably get behind.
Yeah.
Right now.
I mean...
Stop. If they've got COVID, don't bring them in.
Yeah. Totally. I think the boats probably have stopped.
Well, we don't hear about it, do we?
We don't.
But we'll hear about it in five years' time.
Mm.
Like at election time, they'll be arguing about their great border security stance.
We stopped like, it.
Look like, at this period from 2019 to 2022.
Asia was on fire.
No boat arrivals.
It was crazy.
They had bees in their lungs.
Everyone had bees in their lungs.
Anyway, so I do. So no one turns their webcam on. I just speak for like 25 minutes.
That's crazy. Just,
and no response.
And are you doing like jokes or stories or...
I mean, to, like, it's hard. I was trying to do my act. Yeah, I did some stuff, like trying to do some stuff about their company, but that didn't fly.
What? How do you know? How the fuck would you know what flew? You can't see shit. You're looking at a black screen. You can't hear anything. You can't see anything. Are there people typing in the comments at all?
No one typed in
or anything.
I think they were all working or something.
Can you see how many people are on watching?
It went down. The only thing I could see was the chat box with people being like, blah, 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 has left the conversation.
That's all you see. That was every now and then someone. So
admittedly, it didn't. I probably only lost 10 of them.
out of a lot.
Well, I got told there was 170 there, but who knows how many were there. Like, you can't tell. All I saw were 10 people leaving over, like, you know, the course of a few.
20 minutes you had to do? 15?
Yeah, I did long though. I did 25. Anyway, yeah, it's... so I wouldn't have had a clue if it was good or bad.
Did you talk to the organizer afterwards? Did you get any feedback from them?
No, I was out straight away. It's so fun leaving. I just go, thank you, and literally leave the
And
call.
Then you quickly.
Yeah.
Can I ask what time of the day this was occurring?
First one was at 11:30 in the morning. So brutal. The next one was at...
it's all so awkward.
The next one I did was at 2
in
the afternoon.
So these are people who work 9 to 5.
Yeah, they're all at home. Yeah.
All at home. And they've been told, was this at least on a Friday or something?
No. I did on a... I've done 2 on a Friday afternoon that were pretty fun. Not fun.
Time for it.
Not fun, but once you readjust your expectations, it's kind of like just a funny Zoom meeting thing that you're doing. And everyone does buy into that.
And they all know that it's a bit of silliness and, you know, everyone's making do and they probably feel good about supporting the arts to some degree.
Absolutely.
And they're like, you know... Done with work for the day and for the week, so they're like happy.
Most
relax.
Of them are having a drink.
Have a drink.
11:30 on a Monday, real bad time.
11:30 on a Monday,
real bad time to
with
do.
With no cameras on.
Oh, and the organizer was on. So the first one, the organizer was texting me to stop swearing as well during it. She's like, "Don't say that. Don't say that. A few less fucks, please." My phone's just going off next to my laptop.
Don't swear to me.
All I could think, I was like, not that I was ever like this about my creativity.
Yeah.
But any sense of me being an artist has been eroded by this vaccine. Forget about, like, you know, the damage to the economy. But I don't have a creative, but, like, I'm just there speaking. Well, and she's like, don't swear. And I'm like, I'll stop swearing. Her name was
HR.
Karen.
Really?
Yeah. Karen. Kaz. She's like, call me Kaz. I bet you want me to call you Kaz.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of Kazes around these days. God. Yeah, the rate of Kazes has increased by like 300%.
Just changing it on the sentence. Now the most popular name in the country.
I'll fucking bet. Like, what were you swearing, though? What were you...
Just occasional fucks. No different, really, to what I'll do in normal stand-up.
Mm.
But...
You're not going super blue at 11:30 a.m. on a Monday.
Like, you know when you're eating that pussy...
Can I get an amen? I'm going to need people to turn themselves off mute and give me an amen for eating pussy. Hello? I've been ejected. Have I been ejected from the event?
Well, I got told of one comedian that got muted by a boss because they didn't like his act. Like, he was doing it to a workplace and they just muted. He muted. And then,
Hang on. So you're in a situation where you're in a Zoom call.
Mm.
Karen has your number. So she's texting you advice. The HR person is texting. And the CEO has the ability to just mute you at any minute. Whenever they want.
Dude, it's scary.
The finger
stuff.
Hovering over the...
I feel like it must have been like what it is to be a jester back in the...
Yeah.
It's like, come and entertain us and we're all going to gather around and we'll kill you if we don't like it.
It's like being a jester if they blindfolded you and put you in some sort of tomb where you couldn't hear the reaction you were getting.
They put noise cancelling headphones on. Blindfold.
Yeah.
Do your act. You don't even know where to turn. I didn't know, like...
There's a king there. There's only one annoying lady can communicate with you through some sort of...
Well, halfway through, I got so delirious that I started not looking at the screen as well. I started, like, looking around because I was like... Well, okay. Then I'm like, oh, they are probably looking at me, but I reckon they're just, like, doing their work and I'm just talking like a podcast.
Yeah.
I felt more like a podcast than a stand-up comedian.
I suppose, and that's actually a relaxing way to look at it, I feel like, because that makes sense to, I mean, depending on what work you're doing, you can listen to a podcast sometimes, but I want to say a lot of them probably, I'd take that opportunity for like a nap or something, or to get like or like make myself, you know, an early lunch or something.
Well, the second one.
Like, it's just not an appropriate time to be doing this. Presumably it's a Monday. Monday mornings, I think you often spend kind of like getting a grasp of what you have to do over the course of the week and getting a sense of what work you need to do.
You're writing your to-do list.
Yeah, kind of. And then like by that, around that time on a Monday, you're like, okay, let's get cracking. Like, God forbid you have a few deadlines, either on Monday, Arvo, or Tuesday, you need to get something to someone. And then they're like, no, cut out work. We've got like...
This comedian never heard.
We've got this guy.
Never heard.
Who's going to just... pop up with no like vibe of you're still annoyed from it being Monday at work, a depressing day.
There's and also then, no intro. Not that the intro would have saved it, because you can't save it. It's also like it didn't go bad or well.
How does it? Yeah, mate, you had no input of any kind to grasp any kind of feedback.
I should have just submitted a script. Here's what I was going to say.
Have a read if
you want. Have a read. And do you like it?
And imagine like the funniness of it. That would actually maybe...
maybe go better.
Probably. Do it in the like the style of a report. But then how does it begin? So you are chatting to Karen.
To Kaz.
Kaz.
And I'm in there. And then she's like, oh, yeah, so everyone will start joining soon.
Mm.
She's chatting to me. And then she's like making cups of tea and stuff. Like she's at home. Everyone's on a fucking headset these days. Working from, like, I don't do it. But every time I say, everyone's got a headset on.
Sure.
It's the headset sales was called through the roof during the last 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they all look like they're fucking working for the SES. Or, like just taking in damage control calls or in call centers.
So you can see them at the beginning.
I can see her. No, but in the other ones I've done.
Oh, right. Okay, So you're picturing that that's what people would have looked like.
But yeah, well, I don't know. Not,
no clue of the demographic.
Wouldn't have a clue what they look like. I got told they were a diverse company, but that's what I would say if they're all white and weren't going to turn their webcam on. They're like, yeah, we've got a huge ethnicities, genders, ages.
Can't even begin to describe how diverse our workforce is. Cameras off, definitely off.
Fellas, cameras off.
They're going to get a vibe of some of those accents? No, no, no. They're also going to be muted. You're never going to see them. But watch our advertising and you'll see quite the rainbow in there. Forget about our actual workers.
So I'm in there and then she's like, what did she say? She was like, all right, I'm conscious of time, so I think we'll get started.
I'm conscious over of to you, time.
Sam. Over to you. And I'm like, thanks, everyone. This is great. And that's what it's like. So you don't say anything.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. And like you hear every time you don't speak, you hear that silence so much. Like that. Listen to that. I would let jokes pause for... I started trying to have fun with it. I'd leave it for like 15 seconds.
What do you mean you left it?
Just to let the punchline sit in case they were listening.
Yeah. What, you think they're laughing for 15 seconds after?
Well, maybe because people quite get worried about laughing in groups. They feel quite self-conscious about it. Maybe at home they feel more comfortable.
People feel uncomfortable laughing in groups.
That's why dark rooms are good for comedy.
Yeah. I think if they feel too like public in terms of what they're laughing at, but my God, it's not ideal. God. So do you have more coming?
No, the calendar's bare.
Okay.
I don't know if I can go back.
Yeah.
I was like...
Is the money all right?
The money's unreal.
Yeah.
But okay. But also I'm kind of like, that'll dry up when they realise it's not a feasible form of entertainment.
I don't know, man. I feel like they have budgets for this shit. They can't spend it on anything else. I think the only other thing is like trivia over Zoom. So like, yeah, do it all you can.
Yeah, but it's also like I was interested to do it to be part of be like, that's something I can say I did.
Totally, yes.
But it's like, oh.
Sounds.
I rolled around on the floor after. Like I did.
Really?
Like I stopped and I felt dirty.
Yeah.
Not that I think of myself as like an artist or a creative kind of mastermind.
Yeah.
But I think there is some kind of element to like integrity in your performance and that you are doing, are doing something. And then whatever that I did over, I don't know what that, well, I can't even explain. I showered, I rolled around on the floor.
I think
I needed someone with a gurney.
Surely it's just not just that. It's like the lack of connection with anyone. Like it's the silence and then the like, usually if you're performing in a live setting, there's a bit of like back and forth. So you kind of feel like something's happening and you get some positive feedback or even negative feedback.
Negative feedback would have been great.
Just nothing is... It's crazy. It's almost like a psychological experiment. It sounds similar to what CIA people might have put...
Maybe it's a test. Maybe I'm getting... maybe I'm getting recruited.
Into SAS the show.
Well, it's already been cast. I was hoping maybe three. More ASIO.
Oh,
They're seeing if people can get through these things and then they tap me on the shoulder.
Oh.
It's like the start of a Christopher Nolan movie or something. Like Tenet, he works out he's actually the one.
Well, I think a comedian would be a pretty good person to be a spy because they do travel a lot. Yeah. Is this the American guy that lives in?
He's gone now, but he had to be a spy.
How many languages did he speak?
Seven. And he reckoned he worked in construction. But he also had a security clearance, a United States security clearance.
What does that mean?
Means that he had access to top... And I said, why? And he said, because I work construction. I'm working construction on embassies around the world.
How did you...
For the United States.
How did you know that he had a security clearance?
I got chatting to him. Because I was trying to get some words in Spanish out of him. Does Fives tell you that
they have a security clearance?
Well, no, but maybe...
Maybe it's a double buff.
I think it's a...
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm a spy.
But you would have to explain it. It's like, what are you doing here during COVID? You're doing open mic gigs. Yes. You're like the rippedest American guy I've ever seen. You speak seven languages and you want me to believe you'd thrown a shovel around all day?
Exactly.
And so he's got it.
You're amazing.
Also, he lives in
a
He lived in a penthouse apartment in North Sydney looking over the harbour. Someone went there and was telling me about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's actually lovely for someone like that to try open mics, you know?
But maybe that's
To our level.
That's his. He's like, I'm a travelling comedian.
Interesting. And that's how maybe he gets a sense of the culture.
Mm.
Would that be positive in any other way? I don't know. You could get intel on...
If you want the goss from the open mic comedy scene around the world,
exactly.
It's not that exciting.
Go back to the Pentagon, you're like, look, but I've got a lot of stuff, but it's all pretty boring.
They reckon comedians are like, you know, they are speaking, they actually know, they actually are kind of collecting data on what flies in the general population, what people are okay with hearing.
That's what I've always said. It's like anthropology.
Yeah, totally.
You legitimately go to different towns and stuff and you find out what their sense of humour is and you can feel it change. If you go back to places, you might do a joke about like gay people. I used to have a joke where it kind of wasn't that relevant, but there were like gay guys in it or whatever. And then I think you could feel people pull back when you mentioned that.
Mm.
And then other times you wouldn't feel that. And then sometimes you'd feel enthusiasm because people are like,
yes, gay people are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you could tell like town to town kind of a bit how comfortable they were with that concept. It's like, and you can just feel it in the room. It's weird.
Well, and I think a lot of his jokes were that? Like, a lot of his jokes were like, what do you guys think about America's nuclear weapons program? It was a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being like, on a scale of 1 to 10,
yes.
Do you think America has a problem with guns?
Very analytical style.
He's got a notepad. He's just writing things down in it.
If you were to design and construct a secret military base in Western Australia, would it be appropriate to put it near the Kimberley? Would the community outrage if that were to become public be A?
Dude, it would be a perfect... Enraging. Imagine if, like, Seinfeld was a CIA operative. And his whole cover, the whole time, was being like the most famous stand-up comedian alive. No one would suspect it.
Hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
Or maybe he wasn't meant to be big. He was meant to just stay at open mic. So let's say that guy is a spy, and that was part of his job, is to glean a bit of information about the community by doing open mics and kind of give him an excuse to be there and like alibis sometimes maybe, and that was the point, but just like keep doing that. But then he starts taking, like Jerry Seinfeld started taking it more seriously, started writing better bits, gets on TV, they're like, abort, abort. Yeah, he's like, nah. No,
you don't understand. I'm in too deep.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm doing both now.
Exactly. I'm going to get up to the top and then I'm going to like have a show where I'm in a Bentley with Obama and I'm going to crash.
Dude, maybe.
Comedians in cars are just an excuse to assassinate.
Well, this might be in bad taste, but maybe that's what happened to Robin Williams.
Right.
He could have been... Probably in bad taste, actually, because he died. He's dead, obviously.
Yes, no, he did die, yeah.
But maybe he was under... That was the whole thing. And then he discovered when he was in Mindy and Mork, he's like, I've got a flair for this acting thing. I'm a comedic talent. And they were like, no, and he kept doing it till enough was enough, and they took him out.
It's like a report being like, Agent 77 has the X Factor. Sorry to report to you, General.
We don't know what it is, but he has it.
He has it. He's gone rogue. He's killing. And not what we want. Killing the right people. I mean, I have seen Robin Williams perform for the troops.
A lot of them have, though.
That would be a good excuse to get them over there into the war zone. You know, meant to do special missions.
So he's doing, by night, entertaining the troops.
Yeah, by day, on the fucking field.
He's a troop, isn't he?
Exactly. And then they got the masks. Like, you don't know who's who.
And then he's that night doing local gear from the field.
It's like, you know when
Remember when Steve-O didn't cover Jono? Jono died!
Exactly.
Classic Steve-O.
When a flashbang grenade comes around the corner, you yell flash, not gash. Okay, Tony? Barry over here can't fucking see out of his left eye now.
It's killing. People are cheering.
Yes, he finally understands.
Oh, my God. I read this book about, do you know who Mark Colvin is?
Ooh, journalist.
Journalist, yeah. He hosted, I think, PM.
Passed away?
Dead, yeah. Mm. Passed away a few years ago. He wrote a great book about his dad. His dad was a spy for, what's the UK, what's it called, MI5? MI5. Yeah, yeah. He was that for his entire life.
Was that and, Mission Impossible 5? I don't know. He was in MI5 or his whole life.
Yeah, what his dad was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And told that he was a driver or something, but also was traveling around the world all the time. But he didn't. So he's like his son, Mark Colvin, kind of grappled onto the fact that he's like, something's up. Like, it does seem a bit weird. And then as he's getting older, he's like trying to get his dad to admit it and stuff. Mm. And then his dad never admit, like, to his death, even went to the hospital when he's dying, he's like, admit it to me. That, and his dad's like, I'm a driver. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh
then
my
at his
gosh.
Funeral, like, world leaders, like, the Queen went.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The Prime Minister was there of England, this of, was of a, United Kingdom.
There was a guy who lived down the road from me, a father of, like, a girl I knew at school who... Yeah, we joke about him being a spy because there was a photo of him shaking hands with Saddam Hussein at the house.
What do you mean?
He met Saddam Hussein.
He just lives in the suburbs.
Yeah.
What was North his, Shore of Sydney. Did he ever explain the photo?
Not to me. I didn't ask him about it, though. But yeah, word was he was a spy.
Why is it hanging up in his house?
In the 90s. Back when they were on the right side, you know, before America decided they were bad.
Yeah, I can imagine him taking it down.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, you'd be proud of it.
Yeah, I would be. It'd be one of my proudest moments, I think. But, yeah, you would, it would, like, it's a conversation starter.
Totally. Definitely. Probably too much of one. Try like, that behind you in a Zoom.
Because there's no actually good answer for it. It's like you're either some kind of, like, arms dealer, you're a spy, or you're, like, big in the oil world. Like, how would you...
some sort of merchant? I don't know. How damning is it to be, to have a photo... of you shaking hands with someone bad. I've thought that because, you know, Epstein.
Never met him.
Well, it's not what some photos I've seen imply that I've doctored. But, yeah, he's a famous, got done for pedophilia and now also has died. He was a spy, I think.
You think he was a spy?
Yeah, apparently he was paid by the Mossad, Israeli...
was he was Jewish, service, Epstein. Service. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, this is the rumor that he, because he would, like, have these famous world leaders to his island and then potentially take photos of them and, like, have evidence on them. And therefore, you have a lot of power if you've got evidence that they were
absolutely
being a pedophile themselves.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But point is, when he was outed, there were lots of photos with him, like, shaking hands with the powers that be at, like, parties over the years, you know. And, like, how damning is that? Because I remember thinking, I might have said this on this podcast already, but like if you're at a party, someone comes over and you're just chatting, you've got to have a good 5-minute chat and then someone comes over to the camera, like, can we get a photo? I'd say yes.
Of course. And I probably have taken, like I've probably had a photo taken with someone.
A pedophile, you think?
Who's done something bad.
Definitely.
Not like a pedophile.
Bad.
I played golf with Steve Price once.
All right.
He's just a right-wing commentator.
He was a nice guy. Bad.
On the golf course, he was nice.
Isn't he? I think my dad told me that he's the one who went on I'm a Celebrity and kind of, it really changed him forever and now he's a more empathetic guy. Is that him?
I mean, yeah, I think it. Him and Nazim Hussein became friends or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, I see what you immigrants are talking about now. Not that Naz is an immigrant, but, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Looks like one, according to you.
No, according to Steve Price. I was doing a version of him, a character
totally.
Of him.
Yes, I see. No, but I think he admitted it. Like, lost weight, like, just had a new perspective. And that kind of implies growth. When I heard that, that made me like him more, but I don't really know about him.
So if I had a photo, because we shook hands on the 18th green, as is custom in the world of golf.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't put that photo on my wall of me and him.
No.
So, like, how close or how much you have to love Saddam Hussein to put it in your living room?
It's funny. It's funny.
That's so good if that's his answer.
Yeah. Come on.
It's a bit of a laugh, guys.
I can't think of a funnier person to have a photo
George
of
Bush.
You. George, that's so funny. No, it's more doable and it's like more kind of you could actually like him.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I feel like Osama bin Laden would be up there.
I mean, if you could get bin Laden. They'd search him for years.
Do you reckon?
Imagine you were running your own mission to track him down, but just for a photo while the government's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
You're on their tail trying to find the bunker he's in, looking around. Osama, don't shoot. I just want a photo.
So we've got the Zero Dark 30 team. They're trying to assassinate him. And then we've got this guy called Tim who wants a selfie. And he's in there.
He's just in a dark room.
Exactly. trying to get it developed. He's got a Polaroid. He's got an old school approach, but he's got very new school technology in terms of tracking because he got there, you got a photo with him somehow.
In a Polaroid. He's just waving it, carrying it back, blowing on it.
Oh, mate, this is going to look great on that wall. My Lord. We were talking about who the most famous person alive is the other week.
Oh, yeah.
And I reckon he'd be up there.
Osama.
Yeah. He didn't come up in the conversation.
He was, yeah, I mean, he was famous, wasn't he?
I suppose
he's
dead, so he didn't count for that one. But
yeah, there was a time when he was the most wanted man in the world.
I think that that's an underrated kind of avenue to fame. I suppose a lot of, like, school shooters kind of do it because they want to be famous.
Yeah.
In America. And, I mean, I think now the media are trained a bit more not to name them, so, like, not to give them that name recognition and kind of notoriety that a lot of them are after. But like influencers and stuff who clearly just want to be famous, they don't really care, like on Instagram or whatever, they're just pumping out photos of them and
their ass
or something, and like they don't really have a something that they want to express, it seems. They're kind of just after some sort of profile.
Yeah.
I feel like becoming like a big notorious enemy of the state is kind of not utilized enough.
If you just desperately want
to do.
Well, the problem, I think, in your plan, Tom, is that if you were, a lot of the time people want the trappings of fame.
Yes.
Recognition and fame are kind of somewhat different. For example, if you want to be an influencer and you just don't really care, you want to get also, but you want you still want to have a nice life and
you want some money.
And you want brands to team up with you. No brands are teaming up with Osama.
Well, what about beard trimming devices?
Manscaper.
Yeah, Manscaped.
They did the mug off and they do Osama. They do the Taliban, they do the mug off.
It's the Taliban of Australia, if you ask me. I feel like maybe then that's the thing. We get brands that just lean into. Have you seen recently during the Olympics, there's fucking ads for Gina Rinehart? Like her mining company. Not just her mining company, but like she's in them now.
And so it's she's like, back because she was hated. I have a photo with her, by the way. I actually
you
do.
You do?
I do. Have you seen
you
it?
You do, yeah. I've forgotten. What a coincidence. Oh, my God.
It's not framed, but maybe I should put that up.
Well, I think that's a good idea. That's funny. It's funny to have a. I mean, it's also kind of interesting to meet someone. Like, she's the richest person in Australia, isn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I think she still is. Her kids are trying to take the money off her, but she doesn't like them.
Totally. So, yeah, for now, at the very least. But, I found that strange. But, like, maybe more. Companies should.
What are the ads for? Like getting us to want to.
Well, whatever the fuck her company's called.
Afford to engage her in any type of contract.
Oh, then it's not for. But look, I think a lot of companies like BP or whatever, like these oil companies that are known as now, you know, they're kind of not pro climate.
Yes.
They're not maybe the best company. There's a lot of negative press. Usually what they do, they just brand themselves as like BP. And they make lovely ads where it's all very soothing. And they're like, look, we have clean coal too. We have clean oil. You know, like it's not all bad. And it's just BP. The CEO.
We're powering families.
Yeah. The CEO isn't in the fucking ad. The CEO is keeping. He doesn't want to be in the public eye.
Totally.
It's just all BP and it's nice, like children and a very ethnically diverse people dancing around.
Hmm.
But she, it's like a similar vibe ad of whatever her company's called. But then every now and then it's like, and Gina Rinehart.
I've got to watch this ad.
It cuts to Gina Rinehart. And there's like Olympic athletes being like, Gina Rinehart is one of the biggest
contributors.
What,
they're with Gina?
I don't think with. It cuts to a few photos of her with some athletes and some of her employees.
She's doing a brand clean out.
She's trying to do a brand clean out. She's putting herself in the ads, which is like pretty crazy.
And then she's got like the BMX rider or whatever under her arm.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I don't exactly remember who was placed where, but yeah, basically, yeah, she's stuck herself and some Olympic athletes. It would be part of a big brand kind of rehash that she's attempting at the moment.
Maybe she wants to go into politics or something.
Maybe, but just shut fucking enjoy your billions and like
don't. You're a billionaire.
It's like Clive Palmer. It's like just fuck off.
Love those ads for. Remember the billboards for Palmer? It was just his face.
It's just for.
No messaging.
Totally. But then a lot of those eviler kind of companies do try, as I said, to like do ads where, no, it's we're actually not that bad. You know, we're nice. Look at this ethnically diverse group of people dancing around. They're having fun. It's nice music. Like, we're good. We're trying our best. They should go the other way and just be like rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah, BP, we go hard.
AC/DC soundtrack.
Spokesperson, Osama bin Laden. These guys don't give a fuck. Like, I think
well,
then
if you cared
kind
about,
of,
like,
it'd be authentic.
They're going to make it work. Osama bin Laden, successful at what he did. Get him in the picture.
Yeah.
He could dig a hole if you're in the mining game. He hid in them for years.
He loves
a hole.
He loves it down there. He knows his way around a hole.
Gina and him shaking hands would be a good pick. Speaking of like crazy big businesses, I've been watching the Olympics. Mm. Obviously, everyone has. And then like no one... I think the reason why, like, you know, tennis doesn't really pop, golf as well, is because, like, not everyone goes. It's like a lot of big athletes go because they can make more money in there.
And it's just not the one time in 4 years that you're going to watch these sports. You know there's going to be other times.
Totally.
Whereas the water polo, the volleyball, I'm like, this is it.
But the athletes are getting, and there's a huge argument about college sports in America and that these colleges make huge amounts of money off these sports. None of the athletes gets paid. They get scholarships or whatever. The same could be said for the Olympics. It's this huge, Channel 7 bought the rights for $280 million or whatever. Who knows what they're selling their product for around the world? None of these fucking athletes are getting paid. Yeah. I think some of the countries pay them if you win a medal or something.
But it's up to the country.
To the country. Who the fuck... Where's the mat? I want to see how much the Olympics have in the bank.
I reckon they've got heaps, and I've heard this from a few people. I think that people are more concerned.
Yeah.
This time around about the Olympic athletes, and I've concluded, I still don't care.
You've got to care somewhat. Come on.
We're in lockdown. I've got nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
Don't take it away. Like, don't touch it for now.
These swimmers have gone... They're in those, like, those flats in Darwin, Howard Springs. They're in the quarantine thing. They're having to do Zooms from it. I heard Thorpe or someone on the coverage the other day being like, if you're an advertiser out there, it's going to hurt them. 2 weeks in lockdown, you've got to give them... This is their time. Like, sponsor them, get around them.
Yeah, totally.
If you're Weet-Bix, give them a deal. Because he's worried that the 2 week period will be enough for it to call and they won't make the money.
Totally. Because that's what I was thinking when they get to the end of the race. Like, Emma McKeon, is that her name?
Yeah, McKeon.
One of the other ones is McKeon. I think she's McKeon, but not 100% sure. Point is, she won like fucking 7 gold or something. Yeah. And like gets to the end, she wins a gold. She looks up, they look up their time. When you realise, you must be like, okay, so the cameras are fucking on me.
Yeah.
And this is smile. The bit. Smile. If Cold I look head. Good here. Yeah, exactly. Like,
just see the breath.
I'm going to make fucking millions of dollars. Please wait, mix like a... Just like, look, don't fuck up. Do the interview well. Like, it's all on these, like, 10-second moments.
That's why they cry when they don't do well. Oh, it's not for glory. It's like they have no education.
It's like...
they have nothing to fall back on. This was their plan. And it's crazy.
I could be in a spa. It goes from pool to beautiful jacuzzi if you swim well enough.
Swim and smile.
Exactly. So the other week I was telling you about some emails that I'd received in the organization I work at.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were sent around to everyone, like just everyone in the organization, hundreds if not thousands of people.
It's a big organization.
It's a big organization, and it's crazy to send any kind of email to all the staff, unless it's kind of like a COVID-related thing or a protocol that everyone needs to know about.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the only...
Or the CEO is leaving.
Yeah, or some like, top person kind of needs everyone to know. Like, that's kind of what these emails are for. This one says... Lost chain necklace.
So this is on the back of the purple beret.
Was the other one.
The purple beret.
This is worse.
No.
I can't believe this. Hang on. I'm going to get both up.
But this is what happens. One person does something. It's everything spreads. This is why humans are the virus.
Exactly. I feel like people do copy other people and think it's appropriate. Like,
oh, it's fine to do.
So first one. Hey, everyone. Sorry for the mass email in advance. Last night, I lost my stainless steel chain necklace somewhere, I believe between the newsroom on ground level and the taxi rank. It's not worth much money-wise, but I've had that chain necklace for a long time and I do feel a certain level of connection to it. Oh,
not enough to have it connected around your body.
A certain level of connection. I thought they were going to say, like it's my grand... Like the one that a few weeks ago, it was like their grandma's brooch was on it or something. A certain level of connection. Like, that's so minimal.
I feel a certain level of connection to every possession in my life.
Of course, like just so non-committal. Yeah. A certain level. Yeah, that could be fucking zero.
Absolutely.
0.1. Zero is not a certain level, I suppose. Anything above zero is a certain level of... It's so disrespectful to 1,000 people. If anyone sees it, can you please let me know? The chain itself is thick with some weight to it. It would have a similar design to the image I've put below. And then there's like an image there.
Stainless steel as well. Not to kind of shame your jewelry. I don't wear jewelry. But it's not gold, is it?
Mm-mm.
It's not like
it's not enough
stainless steel.
Thousands of people. And unless, even in this case, it probably wouldn't be enough. But unless there was some sort of, what do you call it? Like an emotional attachment to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sentimental value.
If it had sentimental value, then maybe alert this many people. But a certain level of connection. They didn't want to say. They didn't want to say sentimental value. Because they
were probably just like, oh, fuck. Look, I would like. It's not that. But I'll just annoy 1,000 people.
Of course that was the. Yeah,
1,000 people.
That came through. And then, yeah, I suppose I may as well.
Did anyone reply?
No, but they replied. 10 minutes later. Hey, all. The chain has now been found. Turns out I wasn't even wearing it yesterday.
Oh my God.
I thought I was wearing it, but turns out it was at home all along, although slightly hidden away out of sight.
Yeah, almost like an item that you have a certain level of attachment to and do not care for at all.
Couldn't give a fuck about. So she had a certain level of connection to it and she wasn't even wearing it because it was slightly hidden away. It wasn't even hidden. It wasn't even lost. It was slightly hidden away out of sight, which means like some of it was must have been inside.
Yeah, totally.
And other bits were not inside.
Yeah.
But didn't even want to look. I'm going to send.
Oh, my God. It's just so funny that like that organization as well, it's the ABC, by the way.
Yes.
It's just like it's so important in Australia's like like fabric of society.
Yeah.
For that to be clogging up the like it just... It's like the...
It does make it worse. It's like, yeah, this...
Why don't you sag the...
That went to tag the Prime Minister in it. That went to, like, some of the most important journalists in Australia. Well, it's very busy people.
I love the idea of, like, someone being in a press conference, like, asking Gladys a hard question about the lockdown. Yeah. She's beep, beep.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
Oh, fuck, sorry. Someone's
She's found it. She's found it. Call off the dogs.
It was slightly out of view, which is why she didn't see it.
Yeah.
Slightly. So exactly. She couldn't see it. She doesn't wear it every day.
I've forgotten my question.
Oh, time's up, is it?
Yeah, I've forgotten my question about COVID and the lockdowns and all the very serious things that I was going to ask and where in my brain I've been distracted by this fucking...
Listen.